Just to mention something about last week's shiur, we spoke about Yom Kippur Katan. There's an interesting Mishnah Berurah. The end of Halacha, end of Arachaim, the Mishnah Berurah brings down that although we all know that today we didn't recite Tachanun, Mishnah Berurah says we don't recite Alanisim. But, says Mishnah Berurah, B'dievid, you said Alanisim, you don't have to say Shemoneh Esrei again. And the Shaar Tzion quotes from the Chemed Moshe, what's the pshat? So the Chemed Moshe says, because maybe really we should be celebrating it in Adar Aleph. But he says that since whatever reason we don't have Purim, but maybe it's the right Zman for it, so it's not like you put something into the davening that's not connected at all, it's somewhat connected. So that's his pshat. But I thought Mr. Brewer was fascinating, because I don't know about you, but I can't imagine anyone would be saying Alanisim today. What would be the impetus to say Alanisim today? Who felt Purim today? I know my daughter told me she got two hamantashen in school. So maybe that would be it. So vice to chais, you see from the Mishnah Berurah that they felt Purim cut much more. Because that would be the only reason why anyone would actually make a mistake to say Alanisim. Mishnah Berurah says, if I mistake, you say Alanisim, what's the din? Who's saying Alanisim on Purim cutting? Who even thinks to say Alanisim today? Who thinks today is Purim? So l'chair, it might be a shtickle right what we discussed last week, that maybe there is some significance to Purim cutting. Someone told me they do have Tishin tonight, whatever it was last night, on Purim cutting. So maybe, from this Mishnah Berurah, maybe it is a right that they used to do something special on Purim cutting, and that's why the Shaila arose. What happens if you said Alanisim? But for the way we treat Purim cutting, I can't imagine that Shaila would come up with anyone that they'd actually think to say Alanisim today. But in any case, I wonder if that's totally what we spoke about last week. And tonight, I'd like to discuss a shiloh that is so common for so many of us, but the more and more people I've asked, they didn't even realize the shiloh even gets off the ground, which is why it's always for a good share. It's always a good topic if no one knows it's a problem. Tonight, we'd like to discuss the issues that are very, very, very commonly overlooked when dealing with eating more like drinking on the go. And we're in movement. And we have this idea that once we make a bracha on our food, so we're good. We cover the food and we get a lot to eat until we finish the food. Then when we go to a new food, then possibly a new bracha will be required. However, we're going to learn tonight that it's more complicated than that. It might be situations that even if I'm eating and I stop to eat and I leave and I come right back to my initial food, I still might have to make a new bracha on that food. So for many of us that are not aware of this, there are many times where we should have been making brachas and we were not. The premise for this concept is found in the Gemara Pesachim. The Gemara Pesachim number one in the Maamar Mekaymus, Gemara Pesachim Kof Aleph Amud Beis quotes a Braisa. The Gemara is using it to ask a kasha. The reason why this sugya comes up in Pesachim is because this is the part of Pesachim that's talking about Kiddush. Kiddush b'makom suda, which is possibly the same rules as tonight's shir, but it really needs its own discussion. But we know there's a principle called kiddush b'makom suda. If you have to make kiddush in the same place where you end up eating your meal, so what happens if a person makes kiddush downstairs and he wants to eat his meal upstairs? Would that be a problem of kiddush b'makom suda? So in that sugya comes up our sugya of tonight. What about switching locations with regard to the actual brach? So the Gemara in Pesachim, the same Gemara is found in brachas. The Gemara says like this: Shinui makom. One who changes location, tzarech levarech, he needs to make a new bracha rishayna on the food that he ate. Person leaves the initial location of where he made the bracha. When he comes back and returns to the original area where he started to eat, a new bracha rishayna is required on the food. Why? So we're going to see. It might make a difference. But in any case, once he leaves, and even if he comes back to the new place, a new bracha will be required on that food. Now this obviously needs a lot of explanation. Why? Why would a new bracha need to be required? So seemingly there's two understandings in the Rishayim, two ways of understanding this din. One way of understanding this din is that the moment you leave the location, it's an automatic hesach hadas. Your mind is no longer occupied with the eating, and your mind is now off of the eating, and it's a hesach hadas. We know hesach hadas ruins a bracha Rishayim. That's one way of looking at it. The other way of looking at it, which is the way other Rishayim learn, is that it's more than that. When I get up and leave my place, that's a statement, it's a declaration that I'm ending the meal. So when I get up and I leave my place, even though I'm leaving for a second, even though I'm going outside just to check if the mail came, I'm going outside to see what's the weather like, but the moment I am oikir myself, I uproot myself from my original location and I leave, that is the ending of my meal, that is the conclusion of the meal, and when my meal concludes, so then all brachas rishonos are no longer count, I have to make a new bracha rishon. There would be a very big nafkamina lahalacha between the two reasons, with regard to the bracha achreina. According to the reason that it's a hesach hadas, so hesach hadas only affects the bracha rishayna. So for example, if I leave point A, and then I go outside my house, and now I come back, so now the only thing that was affected was my bracha rishayna. My bracha achreina wasn't touched, because hesach hadas doesn't affect the bracha achreina. But if the pshat is that when I leave point A, it's like I ended the meal, So if I ended the meal, then I have to make a bracha achrona before I leave. Which means every single time you're going to go outside to check the mail, you'd have to make a bracha achrona before you leave. And then when you come back, you'd have to make a new bracha rishayin on the food that you want to eat again. So that would be a nafka mina lahalacha. And we'll see a little later, it happens to be a machloikus Shulchan Aruch and Ramah. In this area of halacha, there's a very big distinction between the Sfaradisha and the Ashkenazim, as we'll see, that they argue on some basic premise of the problem of shinui makom. Yeah, definitely. Definitely, you'll definitely get it.
Even if he thinks that he's not ending his meal, he's just going to end his phone.
That's right. He's just leaving to go talk to his friend who's outside. He's going to check the weather. He's checking if he got a package. He's checking the mail. The mail, depending on where his mailbox is. If his mailbox is on the outside of his doorway or the mailbox is on the inside of his doorway. But he goes to the front, he goes outside just to see the weather. That would constitute a shinei makom. And in that case, he would have to make a new bracha rishayin upon returning. That's the basic premise for shinei makom. There's two reasons in the rishayin. Either it's deemed a hesach hadas, or it's deemed an ending of the meal and the meal's over. The same way when I bench and I end my meal, I have to make new bracha v'sheina. So this is another way that the meal ends. It's a conscious decision to end the meal by leaving my place. Those are the two reasons brought down in the v'sheina. Okay, good. So we're going to have to talk about this. What happens when you have das, you plan on, you have this part of the setup of the situation, so we'll have to try to get into some of those halachas. But before we even get into that, what's considered changing a place? I understand, you're in a room, so you go from the left corner to the right corner, you got to make a new bracha. I change places. I started off in the left corner, now I'm in the right corner. Is that enough of a sufficient change to say that is? So the Gemara continues in Psachim, and the Gemara says, no, not so simple. Says the Gemara, Yasir Rav Chizda became Amish Meid Rav Huna. Rav Chizda was sitting and he said over in the name of Rav Huna, Ha da Amish Shini Makam Tzarech Levarech. When does the changing of a location require a new bracha? Lo Yishanu El Mi Bayis La Bayis. If you go from one house to another house, that's a sufficient moving. You go from one house to another house. But if you just move from one place to another place, that would not constitute a shinei makom, and it would not require a second bracha. Now, what exactly is included in makom lamakom? We know what bayis labayis means. That's easy. One house to another house, you're in trouble. So if I go to my neighbor's house, I'm in the middle of eating a meal, and I realize I don't have salt, so I pick myself up and I walk over to my neighbor, I bring salt to my neighbor home, done, I have to make a new bracha on what I was eating. That's the halacha of bayis labayis. But what's makom lamakom? What's included in place to place? So this is also a very, very big machlokes rishonim. There's two options. One option could be makom lamakom means one corner of a room to another corner of the room. But if I go from room to room, that would be too much of a move and that would be shinei makom. That's one thought in rishonim. The other thought process in Mishnah is no. That makom lamakom means anywhere in the same house. Even one room to another room, as long as it's in one house, that would be considered makom lamakom, and it would not be a problem for shinei makom. This we'll see is also a very, very big machlokes rishonim, and extremely negeya. A guy starts off eating in the kitchen, and he decides in the middle to go to the dining room, or vice versa. He's sitting in his living room, and he decides he needs to go to his bedroom to get something. Even more negeya for women that are in the middle of the meal, they're doing a million different things. They're going to get the baby, they're going to check, they're going to do the laundry. They're all over the house. Would that be considered a shinei makom every single time they leave the kitchen to go to somewhere else? So, huh? Sukkot comes up also. Sukkot is another big shayla. What about Sukkot to the house, right? We'll have to get to that later if time allows it. So these are all major shaylas that we need to discuss as we'll go through the sugya. But the premise for that is all this Gemara and Psachim. The Gemara tells us the rules. Bayis labayis is for sure a problem. One house to another house, you're done. There's nothing to talk about. That is the example of shinei makom. However, but if it's mimakom lamakom, if it's from one place to another place, then it's okay. Now what's the definition of makom lamakom? Look at number two is Rashi. And on the papers that I photocopied, I wrote Rashbam, it's a mistake, it's Rashi. Rashi Imsachan says, what's makom lamakom? Mibayis la'aliyah. From one floor to a second floor. So Rashi's opinion is one floor to another floor, that's okay. However, if you look at number three, in the fancy Gemaras on the side, they tell you, lo yishan al mibayis la'bayis, avopina la'pina loy. There was a different gears in the Gemara. The other gears in the Gemara said that, if you go from pina la'pina, from one corner to another corner, so now the Gemara is telling us clearly the definition. It's one corner of room to another corner of the room. But if it would be room to room, that would be a problem. So we clearly have a very, very practical machlokes rishonim over here to what happens if you make a bracha in room number one, and then you walk to room number two. Would that be a problem of shinei makom to that you would have to require a new bracha? So that's the first issue that we have to see is what constitutes a change. We learned that a change of location requires a new bracha, but what constitutes a change of location?
Facts are, you're eating, let's say, in the kitchen,
No, no, you can leave the you can leave the food where it is.
No, but that's what I mean. It's about to leave the
so we'll see. There's a chaya adam.
Of course, am I taking them?
Okay. So there's three different scenarios that can play out. Case number one is I'm holding it in my hand.
Right.
That's a chaya adam. Case number two is it's in my mouth like gum and sucking candies, which we'll have to see a very famous tshuva from Rav Moshe Feinstein about it. And scenario number three is that it's not in my mouth, but I'm constantly eating from it. For example, I take an apple and I start biting it in the kitchen. And then I take a bite in the dining room. And then I take a bite in the den. Depending how big your house is, you can be walking around the whole day. But I'm not constantly eating from it like a sucking candy or a piece of gum, but I'm taking very frequent bites from it. Those are all different scenarios that we will have to discuss, and they have different halachic ramifications. But before we even get into the nitty-gritty, we have to get the basic guidelines, is that shinui makom is a problem for sure from one house to another house, and room to room is a machlokes rishonim. I must say, eschatani maskrei. I learned this halach shinei makom. I learned when I was in 9th grade, and I can be meida al emes, and I'll say it. I'm recording. I don't remember a word of it from what I remembered in 9th grade, but it's a. I remember back then it was tough, and I learned it again, and it's tough. It's a very, very complex topic because there's a lot of nitty gritties. But what I'm hoping to accomplish tonight is once we set the basic guidelines and rules, we'll be able to apply it to our own lives, and we'll notice how often these shailas come up forget on a daily basis. They come up more than once, especially for those who are coffee drinkers. And you're drinking your coffee and you're on the go and you make the coffee in the house and you go into the car and you go into the office. We're going to get to, believe me, to get to all these shailas, but you'll realize how often these shailas come up. As we'll see tonight, hopefully we'll get some clarity on some of these issues. So we have now, yeah.
Does halacha change at all when you're making the bracha?
Yes, we're going to see that the Ramon Shulchan Aruch writes that the halacha will change depending on your das, but we're going to have to see how far that can go for. That might not help if I want to go to another location. That might only help depending on how far I'm traveling, which will be another, we will get to. So now we know at least the concept of Shinei Makom. We also now know what's the basic guidelines. We know that room to room is a shaila. We know corner to corner is for sure okay. So let's say, for example, a person has a chasana hall, a huge chasana hall, and you eat in one corner, and then you go to the other corner to shmooze with someone you haven't seen in 25 years. So that's not a problem of Shinei Makom. Or you go to the dance floor, right? The dance floor and the tables are not in the same area. But as long as it's one room, that's not a problem at all for Shinei Makom, no matter how big the room is. There is a shaila. Let's say you're in a park. Big open park. And you sit yourself down in the corner of the park and that's where you're eating. And then you decide to get up and go to the other side of the park. That might also be an issue of Shinei Makom. We're going to see maybe how to deal with that. So one room, you're safe. Room to room is seemingly machlokes rishonim, depending on how you go to the gemara. Right, the smorgasbord to the dinner. All these places over there, these can present very big problems. Or for example, let's say someone's at a chasana, he's in the middle of eating, and then while it's taking endless amount of time for chasana kala to come out, he goes outside and makes a phone call. He leaves the room. He leaves the entire hall. He walks up and down the street, as many of us do when we're bored at chasanas, right? He makes phone calls, so he's outside. That's bayis labayis. He left the house. He left the initial place. So that could for sure present the halachic problem. We'll see how that doesn't really play out to be a problem, depending on what you eat at the chasana, as we'll see in a few minutes. So we clearly know what is Shinei Makom, and we know how far or how much room you have to move. But here's where things get more interesting. The Gemara tells us, in number four, the Gemara in Pesachim tells us one more fact that's very, very important. The Gemara says like this: Yosef Rav Chizda Kama Mishmei Denafshei. Rav Chizda said the following statement: Ha Da Amit Shinei Makom Tzarich Levarich. When does changing of location require new bracha? Lo Yamar and Ela B'Dvarim She'en Antunim Bracha La'Achrayim B'Mkayman. Only those foods that do not require a bracha achrayna in the place where they were eaten. There are certain times you have to make a bracha achrayna in the place where you ate it. So Zakti Gemara, Zakti Pchizda at least, any food that requires a bracha achrayna in its initial place, then even if you leave that place and go to a new place, you don't need to make a new bracha because of Shinei Makom. What's the logic? The logic is very simple. The logic is that you're telling me that I left the place. I couldn't have left the place because I got to come back to the place to make a bracha achrayna. So I'm like attached to the original place. So Shinei Makom means I left my place. No, I didn't really leave it. Yes, physically I got up and I left. But because I got to come back to my chair or to the room where I ate and make my bracha achrayna, it's like I'm always still connected to the original place. And since I'm connected to the original place, you can't say I left my first place. So any food that requires a bracha achrayna in its initial first location would never be subjected to the rules of Shinei Makom, which knocks out a whole chunk of our foods, which we'll see is really a machlokes rishonim. But avod dvarim hatunim bracha achrayna, but those foods that require a bracha achrayna in their initial place, ein tzarich levarich, then you do need not make a new bracha. My time says, what's the reason? The kivah kamoi hoder. You're coming back to your original kviz. You never really left the place. You're bound to the first place. You think you left, and you think in your mind you left, but you can't leave, because you got to come back to make the bracha achreina. So you're always still connected to the first place, and since you're always still connected to the first place, a new bracha rishena will not be required. This is the opinion of Rav Chisda. However, so there's two reasons. Two reasons for why it would be considered a problem. It's machlokes rishonim between Rashi and probably Tosfos. One reason is it's considered hesach hadas. The moment I leave the original place of where I made my bracha, it's the same thing as taking my mind off of the food, and therefore hesach hadas ruins a bracha rishonim. The other reason is more extreme, maybe, is like Rashi Shita is that when I leave the original location, it's my way of saying I'm ending my meal. It's like I'm ending the meal. So whenever you end the meal, you no longer can use the bracha rishayna because now the meal is over. The same way after I bench, I can no longer use my initial bracha rishayna. We don't say, well, you make one bracha rishayna in the morning, it goes for all foods you eat throughout the day. It doesn't work that way. So the moment I get up from my seat and I go a certain amount of distance, that's a statement, whether it's conscious or not conscious, that I'm ending my meal. If my meal's over, now I need a new bracha rishayna. Those are the two reasons given in the rishayna. And we'll see in a few minutes, it's really a machloekes mechaber and ramah in Shulchan Aruch. So, yeah. Very good. So traveling is the exception. Shulchan Aruch paskins that whole chedrachim, those that are traveling, are not bound by this halacha. Now, if there's time tonight, we need to get to figure out clearly what is someone who's traveling. The most common shaila, which Rav Moshe Feinstein wrote a tshuva about, not exactly, but we're going to apply it to, is a case where you go to 7-Eleven and buy a coffee. What do most people do when they buy the coffee? They take a sip in the store. They don't wait till they get to their car. They sip a little bit in the store. Then they walk into the parking lot, have another two sips, depending how desperately they need that cup of coffee, right? Then they get into their car. Then they drink in the car. Then they get to work and drink in their office. So was this a four-time Shinei Makom, or this is not Shinei Makom at all? We will believe neither. Time allows us, which it probably won't. We'll talk about that later. But yes, Hol Chedrachim, those people that are definitely on the go, a person who's walking. He goes to the store and he's walking, he buys a bag of chips and he's walking from there to his house and he's eating the chips while traveling. He would not be subjected to this rule of Shinei Makom because he's a traveler. We'll see even a bigger chiddush that Rabbi Yashiv supposedly held, that traveling in a car is automatically a traveler. If you're eating in the car, no matter what you do, you're exempt from all these rules because you're a traveler. Even though you're traveling just to get to your office, then your office is your new location, we'll have to see how that works out. So, a traveler, Shulchan Aruch Paskins, is not bound by these rules because he has no kviyas. He's always moving. So because he has no kviyas, he doesn't have these rules.
The way you set that case up, is that the guy's eating the chips.
Yes.
While he's walking home, then he gets home. Let's say he starts the chips in the 7-Eleven, then he walks home 15 minutes, then he starts it again.
So we're going to have to see. A lot is going to depend on what his das is or what he plans on doing with this walk. If in his mind he wants to eat the chips, you know, while he's walking, or he really wants to eat the chips when he gets home, he just can't wait till he gets home. That's so tempting. So we're going to have to talk about these types of shalas, which again, mice and b'choyim happen all the time when people buy things in stores. Yeah, we might. We're very negate with ice cream. What happens in the ice cream store? You don't wait till you get out of the ice cream store to eat the ice cream. You start a little bit in the store. And then you walk outside and you walk up and down and you go to your car and things like that. So would that constitute Shinei Makom? If I had a little bit in the store, then I have a little bit on my way out. These are things that we will get to. But in any case, we have a machlokes in the Gemara. What happens if I'm eating a food that needs a bracha achorein bim kaiman? We will see in a few minutes, it's a machlokes rishonim, which foods are that. But let's say for easiest example is bread. We all agree, bread, you must come back to your original place to bench. So according to the first opinion of the Gemara, if a person ate a meal of bread, he left his house to go outside and borrow salt from his neighbor, comes back home, it's not a problem, he does not have to do anything, all he does is continue his meal. But if he'd be having a coffee, and takes a couple sips from his coffee and realizes he needs milk, goes down the block to his neighbor to get milk, comes back home, puts the milk in his coffee, he would have to make a new bracha on that cup of coffee. That's halacha l'maaseh. However, according to Rav Sheshes, it doesn't make a difference. You could be eating bread, mezonos, whatever you're eating, it doesn't matter. The point is that whatever you eat is a problem for Shinei Makom. So now the question is, how do we paskin halacha l'maaseh? So that we're going to see is a big machloikis, mechaber and ramah. Just to look at some of the Rishonim inside, so we have a little bit of a better read on it. If you look in the Rashbam in number 7b, look at the way the Rashbam words it. The Rashbam says, "Devadai kivan de'omid v'halach l'makom acher." The moment I get up and I walk to another location, amidosai, my standing up, zuhi gmar su'udosai. That's like my completion of a meal. So the Rashbam is clearly learning that the problem about leaving place is not just hesach hadas, it's more severe than that. It's when I get up and walk away, it's like I'm saying my meal is over. And if I'm saying my meal is over, then I have to make a bracha achreina before I leave. If that's the statement I'm making, so then not only do I need a new bracha b'shem when I come back, before I leave, I better make a bracha achreina. So if let's say, for example, I'm about to leave to get milk for my coffee, so I have to make a bracha nefashos on the coffee that I drink, go to my neighbor, get the milk, come back home, put the milk in my coffee, and then make a new bracha b'shem on my coffee. That's the chayr what halacha would dictate according to the Rashbam. So how do we paskin halacha l'maisa? What is the problem and what is not a problem? So let's see the mechaber number 6 in Shulchan Aruch Kuf Ayin Ches. The siman in Shulchan Aruch that deals with this issue is siman Kuf Ayin Ches. And the mechaber writes the following. Hayo'oichel b'bayezeh, if I'm eating in house number 1, o'pasak su'dosev halacha l'bayis achor, and I stop my meal to go to another house. Oy, or shayo'oichel, I'm eating, v'kayrech haveh l'dabri imoy, I call my friend to talk to, v'yotzeloy l'pesach beisei, I don't even go to his house. I go to the doorway. I meet him at the doorway. And we schmooze at the doorway. V'chazer. And then I go right back to my meal. Writes the Mechaber, Hoyel v'shine mekaymoy. Since you left your place, tzarech levarech l'mafrei al masha ochal. Before you leave, what you really should do is make a bracha achreina. Again, according to the Mechaber, I'm sitting in my house and I know I want to go outside and check the weather. I want to go outside and see, you know, did they plow my street or not? So I'm in the middle of eating, I leave my house, I walk outside to the middle of the street, I see they didn't plow my street, I come back all upset. And now when I come back to my meal, says the Mechaber, before I left the house, I should have made a bracha achreina. Then I come back to the house, I make a new bracha achreina. The chayz umuvarach betchila hamaitzi, I come back and make a new hamaitzi. V'yachkach yigmar sudasai, and then I can finish the rest of my meal.
She's only talking about bread?
Ah, so the Mechaber is saying, even bread, you'd have a problem of shinei makom. So who is the Mechaber passing like in the Machloekes Negemar Psachim? He's clearly passing like the second opinion. He's passing like Reb Sheshes, that it doesn't matter, bread, no bread, tu'una bracha b'mkayim, it doesn't matter. Whatever you're going to eat, you will have a problem of shinei makom. So according to the Mechaber, you're in the middle of your Shabbos meal, and someone comes to talk to you, so you go outside your house, and you leave the doorway. If you're still in the doorway on your side of the house, so then you're still in your house. You go outside, you want to have a private conversation, so you go to your front lawn, you're in your front, in your property still. Says the Mechaber, that's Shinei Makom. And when you come back, before you leave eight, you should bench. And when you come back, you have to make a new Hamaitzi. What about washing? You have to wash again also. So this goes back to a share we spoke about a few weeks ago. Was there Hesach Hadas? Did I take my mind off the cleanliness of my hands? So if Itako spent a long time schmoozing with this fellow, and during that time I wasn't washing my hands, possibly on the Tisadai might have to be done also. But clearly a new bracha Rishayna has to be made. Says the Mechaber, Avalim Dibur Imei B'secha Bayis. Let's say we're just talking in the house. Then Afa Pishashina Mekaymai Mipina Lepinoi. Even though I go from one room to another room, Einai Tzarech Levarech. I don't have to make a new bracha. So there's two chedushim that we learn from this Shulchan Aruch. Chedush number one is that the Mechaber holds Shinei Makom would be a problem even with bread. I thought bread needs a bracha achrein in its place. And the Gemara says when it needs a bracha achrein in its place, it's not bound by the rules of Shinei Makom. Yes, that was the first opinion of the Gemara. The Mechaber is passing like the second opinion of the Mechaber. So according to the Mechaber, all foods are going to be subject to the Shaila of Shinei Makom. We're going to see later that the Ramah holds not like that. But according to the Mechaber A, we see clearly he holds all foods are going to be a problem of Shinei Makom. So if you're a Svar D'Shiyid, you really have to learn this halacha well. For us Ashkenazim, we'll see it's not so important because most of the foods are not relevant to the Shailu. Secondly, the Mechaber held that the problem with Shinei Makom isn't just Hesach Hadas. Because if it would just be Hesach Hadas, why does the Mechaber require you to have to bench before you leave? Hesach Hadas doesn't ruin my bracha achreina. Must be the Mechaber holds it's worse than Hesach Hadas. He holds like the Rashbam. It's the ending of my meal. Since it's the ending of my meal, I need to make a bracha achreina before I leave. That's what seems to come out according to the Mechaber. So now we have to figure out which foods require a bracha achreina in their place. We the Ramah pasken like the first opinion of the Gemara, that any food that requires a bracha achreina in its place is not subject to the rules of Shinei Makom. Okay? Which foods need a bracha achreina in their place? So bread is without a doubt. If we look very quickly in number 9 in the Maror Mekaymis, the Mechaber writes like this: Yeshayim, some say Sheshivas Haminim Tuuna Bracha L'Achrein B'Mekayman, that anything made of the Zayin Minim, which would include grapes and wine, is one of those things that need a Bracha L'Achrein in their place, which is a Chumrah and a Kula. It's a Chumrah, so now if you drink wine, you got to go back to your original place to make a bracha achreina, but it's also a kula, so now you won't have a problem of Shinei Makom. So if you want to have drinks and walk around with your wine, you won't have a problem. V'yeshayimim, some say no, the dafka mina dogit. It has to be something that you make a mezainis on. V'yeshayimim dafka pas levad. And some say only bread. So we have three opinions. What would be foods that would be tuna bracha dafka in their place? Says the Mishnah Brura number 10, left side. Kasvu achrayim. So we have machlokes rishonim. What are we supposed to do? The lechatchila yachmi levarach mim kaimen afilu b'zayin minim. Even if a person eats zayin minim, he should try to be careful to make the bracha achrayim in their proper place. Therefore, if you have to make the bracha achrayim in its place, you would be allowed to use this for leniency with regard to shina makim. Lechein lein shina makim ain't sarach levarach. So if a person has grapes, he has wine, and then he wants to go out of his house and move around, it would not be a problem. However, dasa gro bebiuroi, but the gro held not like that. The gro held the dasa and so he's here ekeladina. We pass like the middle opinion in Shulchan Aruch. Ulefiza perish or shivas haminim, fruits that are of the zayim minim, dumim lestam perish, they're like regular fruits. The shayach behu shinei makim, they would be subjected to the rules of shinei makim. Halach lemaisa the achrenim hold, we follow that anything that's not a bar nefashas is not subjected to the rules of shinei makim. Us Ashkenazim, anything that's either a mezainis or a zayin minim or pas is not included in tonight's share of shinei makom. It's not bound by that rule. Why not? Because we pass like the opinion of the Gemara that anything that needs a bracha achrayna in its location is not controlled by shinei makom, and we hold all these things need a bracha achrayna in their specific location. Therefore, they're never going to come into an issue with shinei makom. So, the case that we talked about of bread. Someone's eating a bread meal, and in the middle of the bread meal, he goes to his neighbor to get salt, comes back home, he would not require an ubracha. He's sitting and eating danishes, he's eating cookies, he then goes to his neighbor to get something to drink, he would not need to make an ubracha rishayna. He's eating apples and oranges, and even zayin minim, he would not need to make an ubracha when he comes back. Because we're machmir that all of these things are considered tuna bracha achrayna. Again, it's a chumrah on that end. When you learn hilchos bracha achrayna, you got to remember this also. But that's right, so it's a chumrah and a kula at the same time. But for us Ashkenazim, this is very negated to beverages. Drinks are bari nefashos, and they don't need a bari nefashos in their original location. So all drinks are now very much negated to the shayla of shinei makom. What about for svadim? So it's an interesting machlokes svadim shepaiskim. The Yakut Yosef and the Kaf HaChaim says for this halacha, svadim follow Ashkenazim. Even though the Mechaber says clearly that all foods would be a problem for Shinei Makom, the Rebbe Avad Yosef writes, and the Kav HaChaim writes, for this halacha, Svardim follow us. What does it mean they follow us? Which means if a Svardish guy is eating a bread meal, and he goes out of his house to borrow salt, comes back home, so if he's a real Mechabernik, he would have to make a new bracha. But says the Kav HaChaim, no, he follows the Ramah, he doesn't have to make another bracha. Rebbe Abba Shaul Tainas, what is this? What happened to the Mechaber? All of a sudden now Svardim will become Ashkenazim? What's going on over here? He thinks that's not true. He thinks Svardim should follow the Shulchan Aruch. So again, if you're a Svardish, you got to figure out which side you want to go with. But for us, Ashkenazic Jewry, it's not an issue. Bread, mezainis, not a problem. We don't have to worry. These are not subjected to the rules of Shinei Makom. What happens if you're eating mezainis and the Shahakal? Let's say, for example, you're sitting at your table and you're eating cookies with milk. And then you get up and you go to your neighbor to get more cookies to bring them back home for the rest of the family. So would there be a problem of shinei makom? So on one hand, you say, 1 second, I'm eating mezainis. So if I'm eating mezainis, I'm connected to my place. But I'm also drinking the milk. And the milk, I don't need to come back to this place. So do we look at it that I'm still connected to my place? So when I come back, I'd have to not make a new bracha on the cookies, but I would have to make a new bracha on the shahakal? Or do we say no? Because I'm connected to the place, it doesn't matter. Big machlokes contemporary achrayim. Some achrayim say you would have to make a new bracha rishayna on the shahakal. Others say no. That since you have to come back for the mezainis, it's good enough for the shahakal also, and a new bracha rishayna would not be required on the drink when you leave. Yeah, so that's what everyone throws around over here. Here is like where the big sugya of Savik Brachas Lachal, they say don't make the brach. Savik Brachas Lachal, don't make the brach. However, the Ramon Shulchan Aruch does say to get around all these problems, don't leave in the middle of meals. If you're going to leave, make a Baruch HaChreda before you leave.
What about
Ikar and Tuffel? That's true. That we would apply that principle of Ikar and Tuffel, but over here it's a different Shaila. Here the question is, because I have to come back for one thing and not for the other thing, would you look at it as if I left the place? Right, but they're two separate eatings. I made two separate brachas on them. So again, the best thing would be with these types of shaylas is make a bracha achrayna before you leave. The Ramas do that all the time. Safest bet you run into the least amount of problems. So what do we Ashkenazim do? So if you look in Ramah number 8, the Ramah writes like this. V'yesh cholkim b'chol mashakasa b'simen zeh. The Ramah starts off by saying that we Ashkenazim Jewry disagree with everything the Mechaber wrote until now. The Mechaber wrote two sifim. And on those two sifim, the Mechaber, the Rama writes, we don't follow any of that. What do we follow? We hold all Shini Makim does is it creates Hesachadas. If you go to another location, you don't need to make a bracha achreina. Again, according to the Mechaber, I plan on leaving my house to go to my neighbor to borrow salt. I must recite a bracha achreina before I leave. According to the Rama, I do not have to, because it's not nothing more than hesachadas. Hesachadas does not affect the bracha achreina, but I would have to make a new bracha rishayna. However, says the Rama, that's only if I didn't leave people at the table. Or I ate something that doesn't require a bracha in its place. If I left people, I didn't leave any people. I'm eating by myself. But I ate something that requires a bracha in its place. Whatever I want to eat afterwards, ain't tzarich levarich. I would not have to make a new bracha. So according to the Rama, Shabbos, I'm sitting at my Shabbos meal, and I have to go outside to check, to see whatever it is. I go outside my house, I come back home, I would not have to make a new bracha rishayna for two reasons. A, it's pas, and B, presumably one of my family members are still at the table. According to the Rama, any food that requires a bracha achreina in its place is not subjected to the rules of Shini Makom. So, Zayin Minim, not a problem. Mezainis, not a problem. Pas, not a problem. When is it a problem? Anything that you're reciting Gebar Nefashos or apples and oranges that are not from the Zayin Minim. Okay. So now we clarified what's in the Shaila of tonight and what's out of the Shaila. What's in the Shaila? Only those foods, at least for Ashkenazic Jewry, only those foods that don't require a bracha achreina in their place. So basically everything that's a shahakol, that's a burn fashas, and fruits that are not zayimim. All those are subjected to tonight's conversation. Okay. So now let's try to break down case by case and figure out when will this become a real issue and when is it not an issue. Let's go back to number 6, a very, very important statement made by the Rama. The Rama writes the following. In number 6, the Rama writes, "Im hayadayti le'echol b'makam acher," if I had das to eat in the new location, Loi mikri shinei makom. It's not called shinei makom, which means when I started to eat, or at least when I made the bracha, Chaim Kineski's misupik, if it's dafka before you made the bracha, or even toich kidei dibur after you made the bracha, but before you made the bracha, you planned on switching locations, right? You made a bracha rishayna on your coffee, al das, that you plan on leaving. You're not sitting in 7-Eleven, you're not sitting in your kitchen, you want to leave. Says the Rama, that's okay. If you have das. But the second condition is v'ushi yoshnei hamikaymos bebayis echad. Both locations have to be in the same house. In order for my das to help, it's only going to help if the new location and the location that I'm at right now are in the same house. If they're not in the same house, it's not going to work. What does that mean? So if you look at the Mishnah Berurah, number 11, the Mishnah Berurah says, what constitutes one house? Hayinu tachas gag echad, if they're under the same roof. Even if I go from one between another room, or I go from the top floor to the bottom floor, even if I don't see the place. Now what does that mean? That means if you want to go from room to room with a drink, you can only do so if you had das at the time when you made the bracha. How many people, when they move around the rooms with beverages from one part of their house to another part of their house, have das of that when they make the bracha? It's clear from this Ramon Shulchan Aruch that if I'm going to be eating something like a drink or a fruit that's not Zayin Minim, and I'm going to go from room to room while I'm eating it, the only way I can do that without requiring a new bracha is if I had das for it when I made the bracha. So lefi this Mishnah Berurah, it comes out that if I'm going to start my coffee in my kitchen, then stroll to my dining room, stroll back to the kitchen, stroll around the house, I might have to make a new bracha when I go from one room to another room.
In the same token, if you're planning on only eating one cookie,
so that's a shayla. That's a separate shayla, right? That's a separate shayla about what you plan on coming out. That's a more complicated shayla of hesachadas, right? That's real hesachadas. Here in the world of shinui makom, what would happen over here? I start my drink in the kitchen, and then, you know, I drink half a cup, and I decide, you know, okay, good, now I want to go to the dining room, now I want to go to the den, now I want to go to the bedroom. So according to the simple reading of the Mishnah Berurah of this Rama, if I did not have explicit das to go to whatever room it's going to be when I made the bracha, a new bracha would be required when I get to that new room. And this is Maisim B'chol Yom. We walk around our homes with drinks.
We go to the kitchen to get the drink, to bring it to...
Ah, okay, good. So we're going to see that Reb Shmuel Vosner opened up this door, that there's some svara of built-in das. There's built-in das that people frequently walk around their houses when they eat. You know, for example, he talks about a shayla, about a woman who has to go, you know, make, you know, Shabbos meal, you're eating in the dining room. Right? Someone's going to have to go to the kitchen to bring the food. So why don't we say shina makam? Whoever gets up in the middle is a shina makam. So the Torah says, you tell people, because when you sat down and you made the hamaitzi, you know, the husband makes a clap on the table. Everyone should have in mind that we plan on going into the dining, the kitchen to bring the food. Right? I don't know too many homes who do that, right? So Shmuel Vazir says there, it's built in das. It's built in das that you're going to go from one room to another. But that's not with all foods. That's not all the time.
The table.
Right, there you're leaving the rest of the family at the table, so it won't be a problem anyways. But I don't think with all drinks, it's always like that. So many times a person starts to drink in one room, has absolutely no das where he's going to end up. And then he gets a phone call, he's on the phone, he's all over the house, and he had absolutely no das to go into any of those rooms. According to the simple reading of the Ramah, that would be a halachic problem of Shinei Makam, and in every room he's going to go into, he'd have to make a new bracha.
Does he have to make a bracha achron in the other room?
So according to the Ramah, no. When he finally finishes?
No, well...
So according so that's the Machlokes Mechab and Ramah. According to Mechab, he would have to. According to Ramah, he doesn't. But according to the Ramah, he might be making four brachas on one cup of coffee. And he never left the house. We're not even talking about a fancy case where he left the house. He's in the same house. But according to Ramah, he didn't have das. That would be the simple reading of this Ramah and Shulchan Aruch.
Bring up an issue of brachas Sheina.
This is the halacha. This is tzricha. As weird as it sounds, you can be making five, depending on how big your house is, or how many bedrooms you have in your house, you can be making six, seven brachas on one cup of coffee. That's what can come out, which is an unbelievable concept.
You're talking a case where he doesn't have it in his hand the whole time?
Even if he has it in his hand, Mr. Brewer Paskins, he's holding the coffee in his hand. Chayodim writes, Mr. Brewer brings the halacha. He starts with the coffee in his hand, and he's walking, he's strolling the whole house. But he never ever said in his mind, where I want to go. He never said, I want to go to the bedroom, to the den. Each new room would require a new bruch. An unbelievable halach. Now, the problem is it's so unbelievable, it can't be true. That's why. Right? It can't be. So if you look at number 12, the Baralach also knew this can't be true. The Baralach writes in number 12, he says, one second. He says, Lefiz there comes out, if a person eats fruits, vegetables, drinks, that do not require a bruch achorena in their original place, and you'd leave in middle to eat to go to another room, where you can't see the first room. That's another thing we need to get to. Clearly not tonight. That there's another halacha, another leniency, if you can see the original place where you ate. But let's say you can't, right? You're going from your second floor to your first floor. You can't see anything. You can't see the first room. Again, from your kitchen to the dining room, you might be able to see the first place. So that might be a heter. But if you're going from one floor to another floor, or if you have a really big house, it's not feasible. You're not going to be able to do it. Says the Bir Halacha, it comes out, Aslei Lecho Shom B'Loi Bracha L'Kuli Amma. You should not be allowed to eat in the new room without a bracha. You know, I was in yeshiva today. It was so funny. I'm watching everyone drinking their coffee, and they're strolling all around. They go from the dining room to a different room. They go to the Beis Medrash, and they go to the lab, and they're walking all around. I'm wondering, is anyone worried about the brachas over here? This presents a real problem. You're strolling around. You go to different rooms. This should be a real problem. Right, so if you hold like those Rishayim, it's not a problem. 100%. It's going to be Machlokes Rishayim. But that's what the Bir Halacha is going to come to really defend. So says the Bir Halacha, how could it be? V'nei dover zeh, shu kasev b'kam achreinim, kashem oil lizar b'zeh. It's very hard to be careful with this. Uke b'doyim esheyin oilam noigim kein. Says the Bir Halacha, he thinks that the oilam is not makbid on this. He's 100% right. Yeah, at least the people I spoke to know is makbid on this. How many people think about every single time they make a bracha Rishayim and a drink, they have das to go into various rooms? Or how many people stay in one room? Today we're always on the go, we're always moving, we can't stay in one place. So the Bir Halacha says, how can it be? So he says, V'chafashti, I looked, and he said, it's totally in the two girsas in the Gemara. It depends what girsa you have in the Gemara. And then he renders a very important psak. Writes the Bir Halacha, Val came therefore, after the right thing is lechatchila. So lekones afilo mecheder lecheder b'emtz achila. So b'dvarim she'en tum bracha achreinim kaiman. Really, lechatchila, you should not leave one room to another room unless you specifically had das when you made the bracha. Lechatchila, you really shouldn't. You shouldn't take that cup of coffee from the kitchen to the dining room to the den to the bedroom. You shouldn't, says the Bir Halacha. Mikal makay hanoyig lehakol b'zeh. But those people who do it, ein lemchus b'yadei. Don't stop them. They have who to rely on. Akoponim b'di'eved. If you already did it, bevada ein lahatzrich bracha behen. You definitely do not have to make a new bracha b'shoina in all your various new stops. The midi the sveikel and afke. It's definitely a suffik. The suffik bracha lahaka. Ubiyachaliris mekayim erishim. If you can at least see the first place, bevada yesh lahaka that you can for sure be make. So what's the Mishnah Berurah telling us? A major halacha. Right to Bir Halacha. If you're going to start a drink, again, this is negated at work. There's many offices. You're going from many different rooms. You go from one room to another room, your office, the other person's office. You're all over. It's all under one roof. It's mecheder lecheder. Says Mr. Brewer, lechatchila, what you should really do is have in mind at the time when you're making the bracha that you plan on going to all these various rooms, or possibly plan on going to these various rooms. And if you don't, it's really not so pashut. Halachal ma'aseh b'diav, if you already did it, you would not have to make another bracha. Or if someone else did it, you shouldn't start yelling at them that they should make more brachas. But lechatchila, writes the Be'er Halacha, the right thing really to do is to have das before you go. So again, if a person plans on drinking drinks throughout his house, or eats apples or vegetables or other things, he really, lechatchila, according to Be'er Halacha, should have das before he goes. However, we're going to talk about cars. I was hoping to get to it tonight. Looks like it's going to have to be a part two. But we're going to blend that to talk about cars.
Start in Queens and then
we're going to talk about it. But if you read, if we'd stop right here, this Be'er Halacha is very clear. This Be'er Halacha holds that it would really be a problem. However, if Shmuel Vozner wrote an interesting tshuva in Shevet HaLevi, number 13, he writes like this. He says a very interesting chiddush. He says that this whole din of Shine Makom was really a problem back in the day, where what would happen? You never got up from the table. It was unheard of. That's a shot why parents tell the kids, don't get up from the table. Because if you get up from the table, you run into Shine Makom problems, right? That's probably why the parents tell their kids not to get up, right? In the stomach, that's a shot. But that's right. So Shulvaz says, that's right, because he's chayish v'shin emakim. That's mistamad pshat. A new reason not to help. Here we go. So writes Shmuel Vozner that the reason it used to be that when you sat at the table, you didn't get up. That was your place. You never got up in the middle of the meal. But writes Shmuel Vozner today, where we always are moving, we always get up. What do you mean? You're in the middle sitting at the dining room and you need more water, so you go to the kitchen, bring the water out. You ran out of soda, you go to the kitchen, bring soda. We're always moving room to room. Now again, we're only moving to some rooms. You don't always get up from your living from your dining room and go to the bedroom. That's not a normal place to move to. Very common shot. Let's say you go to the bathroom. Bathroom's another room. Why is that not a problem?
What do you mean? You're not eating in there.
So what? Shina Makam is not to do with eating. Shina Makam is you left the place that you need to go to a new place.
But you're coming back.
So what? That's Shina Makam. That's the whole Yisrael of Shina Makam. You left the original location. So that's also the same shayla. So Shmuel Vozner writes the Chiddush. He writes, he says, the imyotzi rak lemitbach lohavi oid mona machal. You go to the kitchen. You're sitting at your meal. You're eating a meal. Again, I don't want to use Shabbos because Shabbos is always bread. Bread is never an issue for us Ashkenazim. Whatever, you're sitting all together and you're all having drinks, and then you realize that we need more water. So you get up and you go to the kitchen to bring more water. So you're going to tell me that's Shine Makom? So the answer is yeah. The Be'er Halacha will tell you it is Shine Makom. So the Shmuel Vozner, no. Why? The rak bizmanehem shayu mesubin. Back then, where everyone used to sit, vayehashamish aymin aleihem, they used to have real good old fashioned waiters, right? Then shayich hefsek imechad yakim has to be basav yatsa. Today, most of us, I don't know, maybe some of us luckier people do have this, that we have people serving us. Then, someone's got to get up and bring the food. Then, it's not called a hefsek. So, Shmuel Vozner wants to say, and people use this as Shmuel Vozner specifically for the women, for those that normally get up. If you have a guy who never gets up during the meal, but it's not his thing, right? Doesn't get up. Or, for that matter, if you go to a room which is not normally visited during a meal, then this hetzer doesn't work. So let's say, for example, you're in the middle of eating and you decide, you know, I need a break, I need to go to my bedroom. That's not a normal room that people go to. So then that would be a problem. But if you look at number 14, the Sefer V'zei Sabracha, he writes, let's say you normally go from one room to another room in the middle of the meal. Let's say a mother, she's got to go check on the baby, put the baby to sleep, wake the kid up, put a kid to sleep, change the diaper. She's always moving. She's moving to 20 different rooms. So for her, it's not a problem. However, it's important to know, but for those people that don't normally move from room to room, then they should really follow the Be'er Halacha's opinion. And according to the Be'er Halacha, you really should have das before you start moving room to room beforehand that you plan on moving room to room. But the Evid, if you didn't, it's not going to require a new bracha. So just to wrap up tonight's part of Shine Makom, this was supposed to be the easy part, to wrap up the Shine Makom issue is for us Ashkenazic Jewry, it only pertains to Bairi Nefashos, and fruits and vegetables. And if, according to the Mishnah Berurah, if you're going to go from one room to another room in the same house, that would be a problem lechatchila unless you had das, but b'di'evet would not be a problem. However, to go to another house would for sure be a problem. So the issue we have to discuss in Mishnah next week is what happens in an apartment building. What's the status of one apartment to another apartment? You're in your apartment and you're drinking a cup of coffee and you realize you don't have any milk. You drink half the cup and then you realize you ran out of milk. So you go across the hall to your neighbor who has the apartment right across from you. And you go into his apartment, he gives you milk, you come back to your apartment. Would that be considered a shini makim? Would that be considered like you left bias labias? Or can you tell me, no, that's really room to room because we're still under the same roof. Same shower would come up in a hotel. You're in a hotel and you go from your room to your neighbor's room. Would that be considered a problem of makim and makim? Or that would be bias for bias? I guess next week we'll talk about that shayla. Then we'll talk about some of the other practical shaylas that come up when switching locations while eating.